outside. We couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Wrestling fans, and welcome back to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to Season 3, Episode number 21. It is March 6th. Finally, March, Quinn. I'm Joe Marotta alongside Michael Quinn. How we doing, Quinn?
Howdy doody. Season 3, huh?
Season 3. We have made it.
Yeah, so this is like Season 3, Episode 1, really.
Season 3, Episode 1. That's right.
But not really 1. It's like 20... One.
It's episode what 21.
21.
But it's season 3, episode 1, if you want to categorize it.
That's how it works.
That's how it works around here. Folks, thank you so much for being back with us. Glad to be with you this Monday, March 6th. Hope you're having a good day so far.
I'm having a great day.
That's good, Quinn. I'm glad you are. I am too.
Got some ramen.
Did you?
Yeah, it was
awesome. Ramen's good.
Not the crappy
ramen.
To like an actual ramen place.
Right, a ramen place.
And it was really tasty.
Well, that's good, Michael.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'm glad you had some good ramen.
Yeah.
I see you've also got some Twizzlers over there.
Yeah, I got the Twizzlers just in case the urge comes to me.
Yeah, for the commercial breaks.
And of course, the Coke.
And of course, the Coke.
So I'm all set.
You're doing good.
I'm all set for season 3.
Season 3 off to a good start. Folks, of course, if you're listening on the Place to Be Nation, we thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and welcome to season 3, Place.
That's right, Place. And if you're not on that Place to Be, go to that place.
You better get in that place because
you better.
It's a good place.
It is. They don't have a security system, so you can kind of just walk in.
It's some great facilities.
Yes.
And like you said, you don't have to put your key card in or anything like that. It's good.
Open door policy around there. Some great podcasts. But if you're not at that place and you're listening to us on some other place, there's a bunch of places to listen to us, Quinn.
Yeah, there's iTunes.
Yes, that's right.
We'd appreciate a review on iTunes, definitely.
We would.
We're coming after you, Cole Cabana and
Bagley
and all the other all the other doofuses on the new and noteworthy.
Doofuses.
Yeah, we're coming after them. We're coming hard.
What about Tights and Fights?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not bad. Yeah. It's really not.
I follow him on the Twitter.
Yeah, I do too. Well, we have the same Twitter, easy.
We both follow them on Twitter. But
and we're also, Google Play and stuff like
we're
that?
We're on Google Play Music.
Yep.
We're on the Stitcher.
We are. Yeah, that's right. We're on Stitcher.
We're on the Blueberry.
Who cares?
Oh, Blueberry got it this week.
Gorilla's here.
The fmplayer.feet.web or whatever it is.
I never use it in my life.
Yeah, so we're definitely there. And of course, there's the website.
The website, ovppodcast.friends.
.com.
Oh, .com, okay.
And there you can get all the stuff we do. I've actually put embeds. An embed is like when you can watch a YouTube video like on the site.
An embed is also like if you're laying down and you didn't go to work.
And you're in bed.
You're in
bed. Exactly. But you can watch our latest live cast that we did.
Live cast, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds so futuristic, Quinn.
We're going in the future. And look forward to more video content.
That's right. Yeah, we have some stuff up there now that you should go check out.
And there's
great
some stuff in the planning stages, too.
Thank you, Quinn. That's right. Good reminder there. We have some Hall of Fame bites coming up, first and foremost. That'll be starting very soon.
Right.
And we're going to be doing a video and audio simulcast, essentially.
Yes.
Now, it won't be a live stream.
No.
But it'll be both video and audio. And what we're going to do is for a half hour in the middle of the week, not even as part of our regular programming. This is bonus programming.
Yeah, this is bonus stuff for free.
For free. We're going to talk about the newest inductees of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
In the spirit of WrestleMania week and Hall of Fame
and
all that.
We're close. We're in March now. And,
that's right.
I'm really excited for the WrestleMania.
The WrestleMania is coming.
Even though it's whatever. But
the other thing that people can do, Quinn, is they can go to our Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's at OVP Podcast. We love hearing from you, our fans. We love our fans.
Yeah,
that's
we love
real.
The fans. Marty, Justin,
Jimmy Borden, Ruben Vasquez.
Ruben, yeah, we're here for you guys. So.
Marcelo
in our cool podcast.
That's right.
We're
love
the coolest podcast to him.
Love these guys.
Yeah, it's great.
And of course, if you like to use this form of communication, we do accept emails.
Yes, if you have an email address, you can email us.
Like an Earthlink or a Juno or something?
Yeah, if you got Netscape, I don't know, opera.
You know, Dave Meltzer still has a Juno address.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, but ours is ovppodcast@gmail, not juno.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we have Gmail. That's newer, you know?
Quinn, any update on the MySpace?
I'm in talks, maybe. That's a hard no, but I'm just going to say I'm in talks from now on.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess we might as well start season three, huh?
I guess so.
Folks, we promised you a new format, and we do have one.
Yes, we do.
In fact, to start the show now, it's going to be What Do You Think Of? There's no more One Thing I Missed. That is taking a sabbatical for now.
Yeah.
So we're going to start actually with What Do You Think Of? And I'm going to ask Quinn what he thinks of something. Quinn, in the spirit of WrestleMania season coming up, I wanted to ask you something that we very briefly covered in our live podcast or our video podcast a few weeks ago. And I just want to get into it in detail for, 15 minutes here or so.
Okay.
What do you think of WrestleMania 4?
Oh, 4? Okay, well, I'll say this about WrestleMania 4.
Okay.
The concept is exciting.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of tournaments.
Yes, you are. Big fan.
However, this tournament, not so hot. It's no deadly game, let's put it that way.
It's not even a King of the Ring 93.
Yeah, it's not even a King of the Ring any of them.
No, it's not. It's not even a wrestling classic, really. Well, maybe it's a little better than wrestling classic.
It's just a bunch of Greg the Hammer Valentine matches.
One man gang matches. Dino Bravo.
Something that probably could have taken place on Wrestling Challenge.
over a few weeks.
Yeah, instead it's on WrestleMania.
Now, folks, the thing about WrestleMania 4 is a lot of people consider it amongst the worst, and I understand that.
I think it's a little egregious to say it's the worst, because it has moments, and, it's part of the classical WrestleManias, let's put it that way.
It is, and if nothing else, it has Randy Savage's world title victory.
Right.
You can't take that away from
that's
it.
That's great.
I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait a minute.
Everyone loves that.
And you know what? You know what else it has? It has Demolition's first tag title victory.
Right. And, what are those outfits? Are they legal chests?
We covered that somewhere, right?
It's got that comment in it, so it's good. And it's got a good commentary team.
Welcome to WrestleMania 4. I'm Gorilla Monsoon along with Jesse the Body Ventura.
Got a great commentary team.
Like all
team.
The WrestleManias from that period of time.
Great celebrities, right? I mean, Bob Uecker is so much fun there.
Hey, how about getting your foot off my shoulder?
Gladys Knight with the sweater with the buttons on it.
I feel like we've mentioned that, right? And it's fun to talk about.
Well, now we're in the third season.
Things
are going to come up. Things will be said.
But here's something that we don't talk too much about. It's a terrible battle royal.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to say that's good?
No. But you know what's notable in that is it's the catalyst for Bret Hart's face turn.
It is.
So you can say some history was made.
It's true.
At that WrestleMania.
Was the Hart Foundation previous to that, Neidhart also, where they weren't faces before WrestleMania 4?
No, they were still heels.
So it actually turned both of them face.
Yeah, but it was like a
slow... I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was like a slow burn.
Right.
It took a couple of months, but that was the first time Bret really got cheered.
I always like how Bret throws that trophy. I just like how it explodes. And then he bends it in half, but he can't.
He's stepping on it and ripping the guy off of
it. He's using his foot for leverage to break the little man off the top, the Olympic man.
Yeah, the Olympic man.
They used to, all those trophies back then had the Olympic man.
Yeah, yeah, they all had the Olympic man. I think that's the same trophy that Hogan got on Piper's Pit.
You're probably right. Yeah.
3 years to be champion.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
3 years to be a champion. It's a long time.
But the thing about WrestleMania 4, I can totally see, Quinn, why people were disappointed with it.
Do you think people were disappointed at the time by it? And if they were, is it because Hogan didn't win?
I don't know. See, I was going in that direction. It was promoted as not only the tournament, right?
Right.
But a guaranteed Hogan-Andre WrestleMania rematch.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
Right. It was a huge deal. Well, it would have been their third match, technically, because they had the one on the main event.
Right. So it's the rubber match, right?
Right.
And it's guaranteed because they're both second round.
They were both given a bye, but the bye was to face each other. So
exactly.
It's not much of a reward.
No, it's true. So whatever you want to say about the first match, WrestleMania 3 and its wrestling quality, whatever you want to say about the main event, this WrestleMania 4 match is horrible.
Yo, it's
nothing
terrible.
Nothing happens in it.
Yeah.
The ending is bullshit. I'm going to tell you why.
The chair or whatever?
Yes, because you'll back me up on this. I know you will. Because yeah. Hogan uses the chair on Andre first.
Right.
And the ref doesn't do dick about it. And then Andre uses it. And the ref disqualifies both of them.
This is like the stuff we were talking about in the finale with
yes,
Hogan.
With
right?
Hogan.
Where, like, I feel like it's by consequence of the fact that Hogan's such a super face. That when he has to fight fire with fire, the ref's just like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know, but it's bullshit.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's like, these people are pretty nefarious. They had the $1 million bills falling out of their pockets, and they surrendered the title.
That's true. Now, the one thing about WrestleMania 4 that people say against it, and I totally agree, there's no one really good match.
No, but...
Can you name one? I mean,
you
honestly...
You know what? The show's theme team seems to be, like, attrition, right? It's not really about the matches as much as can you survive all these matches.
Can you survive watching the show?
Well, the fans have to go through attrition, too. But, you know, Randy Savage, the idea is that he has to go through the gauntlet, basically, right?
Basically. And yeah. DiBiase gets a nice, like, pass
and
through
keeps,
some of it.
Yeah, he keeps getting, like, stupid ways. Yeah. For the first match with Duggan, it's like Andre, like, helps him. And
yep.
then... Like, he gets, like, a bye somehow.
He does, because I think...
It's Steamboat or whatever. What the,
no,
no, not
Rude
Steamboat.
And Roberts.
The, yeah, the double countout thing, yeah.
Which that match is... You
and
can
by the
fall
way,
asleep during
yeah,
that match.
By the way, speaking of Steamboat, I always thought it was so dumb that he's, like, eliminated early on.
A lot of people say that because he would have lined up. If he would have won, he would have faced Savage.
It would have been great! Like, you had the rematch of Andre and Hogan, right? But it would have been even cooler if the surprise is that Steamboat and Savage rematch.
Now, do you think they didn't do that? Besides, they probably didn't like
well,
Steamboat
they
anymore.
Were heel, they were both faces.
Do like, you risk Savage getting booed at
it's probably
the expense
what they,
of Rick Steamboat?
It's probably what they thought, but at the same time, I always think that Savage was so over as a face at that point anyway. I think the fans would just be freaking out that both of them are fighting.
That's a good point. You know, that is a really good point.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's not like they're fighting because they hate each other. They're fighting because
the
they're in this tournament and they ran into each other by accident.
That's true. That
it's
is
not
how
like
it
they
works.
Chose to fight each other. Here.
Right,
like,
right. Well, you know what? The other thing about Steamboat, that probably is the match of the night. Him and Greg Valentine, if you really look at it.
I mean, that's
objectively,
not saying much.
It's
but,
not.
Yeah.
But that's probably the best wrestled match of the night.
Yeah, it's okay.
Although DiBiase Duggan isn't bad.
Yeah, it's
short.
A good. That's like kind of the opener, technically, because
yeah.
of the you know the Battle Royals, the opener. But I'm saying like it's
the
first
tournament,
yep. match, so
yep.
it's the first like singles match. So
first singles match,
it's decent.
Bam Bam versus a gang is a pile of shit. That has angry ref. Remember that?
It also has Humperdinck.
Oh my god!
Yeah, remember that
the
with his magic
kids
wand.
has angry ref, and I never got that ending because he's counting out Bam Bam while he's on the ring apron.
Yeah, angry ref is just always angry.
One,
yeah.
two.
Hear that? He said he didn't do nothing.
What a desperate move that was!
No, Slick said he didn't.
If
do
the
nothing.
Referee saw that, that's a disqualification.
You know what I always notice about those 80s tournaments as opposed to like 90s tournaments? There's a lot more bullshit endings.
Yeah, I was
Have
gonna
you ever
say,
noticed that?
Yes.
There's nothing ever seems to be definitive in
there's
those tournaments.
Always bullshit.
And you know, thinking back as like just a fan who's seen things, it's like 99% of matches don't end in count out or disqualification.
Right.
So like why when it's a tournament or like
a 15-minute time limit
yeah,
draw.
When do any match go 15 minutes? Like that's just like an average match, first of all.
No,
like,
you're right. You're
like,
right.
It's like saying like, would they ever have Rick Rude fight Jake the Snake Roberts for 15 minutes ever if they were doing it at any other show?
And that's the other problem is those two wrestled like they were going to wrestle a draw. It was just so boring. So much time killing.
Well, you know what to me is upsetting about it is
what?
Weren't they involved in that awesome feud at the time?
It didn't start officially yet.
Okay.
Until a little after that.
Well, they could have. Was that the catalyst for it? Like, how did that?
Maybe.
I mean. I don't have access to the 88 programming because it's not doesn't seem to be on YouTube, so I'm not sure.
That's a good point. Well, there's some the prime times on YouTube.
Yeah, but I'm saying just the like I would like to see the Superstars episodes
right,
to know if like maybe before WrestleMania something got started or what happened there, or if they're just that draw was like maybe the next week on Superstars they were like, oh, you cost me this because
right.
you are dumb. Like,
you know what? That's a good question, Richard Land. If you're listening. You know this stuff. Is Superstars a weird thing with the copyrights? Because I know for a long time it was.
Well, I found on YouTube from other folks
90, 91.
That like all of 90 is just on there.
Len, do you have any? Let us know.
Yeah, because I would really like to... I really enjoy watching those superstars. And like I said, like when I skim through like 90,
yeah.
I watched a lot of it. I skimmed through a lot of like stupid matches, but yeah. I would make sure I watched like all the stories. And like,
right, there were some. There
yeah,
some
there was
stories.
A lot of stuff. So it'd be interesting to see how 88 played out post WrestleMania 4.
That's a good point.
And 88 is always intriguing to me because of WrestleMania 4. And I'll tell you why. Because Savage being the champion is very different. It's a very.
Yeah.
Definitive, like, hard stop of Hogan.
You're right. I mean, the last 4 years yeah. have been Hogan.
And it's more of a hard pause because they just hit the play button when they get back to WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, exactly. But it's yeah. a one-year pause of someone else as a champion,
right.
which is interesting.
Yeah.
It was unprecedented for the Hogan era to have someone else being the
right.
torchbearer.
Yeah, and, like, Bad News is, like, prominent. In 88.
Bad News, Rude is very prominent.
And you could tell even at WrestleMania 4 that they were trying to make Bad News prominent by winning the Battle Royal.
Sure, he was supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like Bad News was like a top challenger.
Top challenger,
yeah,
absolutely.
I wonder if it was alluded to at least a little bit that the Battle Royal guy would get to face the winner of the tournament. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know. If it took a long time.
Not probably officially, but I'm wondering if after he won it. Again, this is why I need to see the superstars,
right.
is because I'm wondering if after it he was considered the number one challenger.
I don't think that he was. I mean, Savage immediately, I think his first big defense was against One Man Gang.
Oh, because he fought
on Saturday night's main event. Yeah.
You know?
And he still feuded with DiBiase.
I know he had that infamous ladder match with Bad News in like a house show or something.
I think it was a hardcore match that happened
yeah.
to involve
You're
a
right.
ladder.
You're right.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No,
you're
it's
right.
All right. It's,
I just always think of it as a ladder match because it's the match with the ladder.
It had
in
a ladder
it.
In
yeah.
it. Yeah. You know, another notable thing about WrestleMania 4, notice, folks, we can't really say too much about the good wrestling quality because there isn't any.
And you know what? I'm not going to say that that's too much of a mark against it, only because it's the 80s.
Yeah.
It's like, we love 6 and the matches aren't amazing or anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we love 3, and I mean, there's obviously Savage Steamboat and
I mean,
a couple of good things.
There's some stinkers on there,
there's
too.
There's some stinkers. But the emergence of the Ultimate Warrior, Quinn.
Yes.
He had been around, but that was his first big moment, was beating Hercules. Not that that was a great feud or it was a terrible
I was
match,
say,
but
until
match.
You said that, I totally forgot he was A, at that pay-per-view, and B, who the hell he even fought.
Yeah, he beat Hercules
because
really
bad. That was just some, like, match in the middle of rounds, basically. Like,
as Kim Kardashian would say,
yeah, this is a match! Yeah, exactly.
And of course, like we mentioned, Demolition. I wanted to ask you this, Quinn, before we wrap up.
Okay.
What did you think of the venue in general?
As it's being used for the first time,
yeah,
I actually like it in 4 because there's some kind of there's this theme right with the at the very beginning in the opening thing they show the slot machine,
yes,
and I like that idea of like it's in a casino and like it's kind of random who's going to win this tournament because there's so many top contenders and it kind of fits in right.
I don't know,
like,
how you think of that. That's really good. I never thought of that.
Yeah, it feels like a once in a lifetime opportunity for all these guys. Like, when the fuck is Greg Valentine getting a world title shot
or Dino Bravo?
Yeah, exactly. So like, I like the idea of the venue for 4. However, 5, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
And
but
folks, if you don't know, because we haven't said it, it was at Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino, the
President
convention hall.
President Trump Plaza.
Yeah, that's true. On the boardwalk in AC. And not as good of a venue, I'd say, as Asbury Park's convention hall.
Not yet, no.
They should have had WrestleMania 4 there.
It looked like it sat more people than hall, but...
10 times more.
Well, because I think it was the idea at the time was it was being used for boxing matches, so it looked legitimate to viewers at the time.
Oh yeah, I think isn't that where Tyson kicked Mike Spinks's ass? Michael Spinks's ass.
That might be where it happened.
I think it was.
But I mean, it wasn't like to the modern fan looking back, it looks really dumpy. But to the fan at the time, it's like, oh, this is in a casino, like a real boxing
like a boxing
yeah,
that's
like,
true. I mean,
like, it probably looked pretty cool. Like,
that's a really good point. If you think about it, heavyweight boxing with Mike Tyson was at a very high point in that time in
right.
the 80s.
So this looked like a very legitimate venue to the viewer at home.
To the casual, to the
yeah.
guy that watched the main event on
right.
on NBC a couple of months earlier.
Right, exactly.
It's like, wow, they're going to the place where they do the boxing.
Right, it's like, oh,
good
this
point.
Is like big time, you
good
know?
Point.
Like, yeah.
But the crowd sucked.
The crowd sucked.
Awful crowd.
Yeah, awful.
They barely cheered anything, Quinn.
Well, they didn't know. They it's probably just
gamblers,
degenerate gamblers. And
coke addicts.
I mean, it's AC. We know what that's like. We're from Jersey.
Not too far down yeah. the road. Yeah, that's true. So overall thoughts, Quinn, is 4 one of the worst?
Not one of the worst. It's not even like close to the worst, is I'm going to say.
Okay. Would you call it good, though?
No, it's not. And again, it's not even close to the best at all. It's just somewhere kind of in the middle. Like, it's a rare, like, misstep in the 80s. And that's not to say it's bad, either.
So you'd say it is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right.
How about that? We'll leave WrestleMania for it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And folks, what we are is the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast. And we will be back right after this.
These are the biggest and baddest wrestlers in the entire world. And they're waiting to take you on. Get in the ring.
Or you can take them on with Acclaim's VCR WrestleMania game. This board game and video cassette puts the wrestling superstars in your corner and gives you the greatest wrestling moves of all time. So go ahead, jump into the ring.
And with the VCR WrestleMania game, you can win. From Acclaim.
Wow.
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, Season 3, and it's episode number 21, this Monday, March 6th, 2017. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
When during the break you were chomping down on some Twizzlers over there, huh?
Oh yeah, I was chomping on the bit, I guess you'd say.
Champing
at the bit. Yes, I did correct you that one time.
Yes,
that
you did.
And you didn't believe me.
I didn't.
That
I had was to look
champing,
it up.
But yes, I was champing at the bit. And I had commented we should have Twizzlers as a sponsor because I have a great idea for like a catchphrase for them.
What is it?
Twizzlers. Nobody beats the Twizz.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it great?
That's really, really good.
It's like something King would say. Like,
yeah, 99 or something.
And this portion of the show is sponsored by Twizzlers. Nobody beats the Twizz, JR.
So, folks, I also wanted to remind you of something coming up soon. The WrestleMania special with Scott Keith.
That's exciting.
That'll be some good times.
It's that time of the year.
It is.
It's WrestleMania time, and the Scottster is going
to
be here.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I love talking to Scott.
Scotty.
Scotty. I don't think he goes by Scotty.
I don't think he does either.
The Scooter?
The Scooter, maybe.
The Net Cop.
The Net Cop. Well, we know he goes by the Net Cop. He is the Net Cop.
He is the Net Cop. Folks, we have a new segment for you for season 3.
Yep. Here comes the good stuff, right?
Each week, Quinn and I are going to put 4 things on Mount Rushmore.
Hey, not the real Mount Rushmore. It's not like we're replacing Jefferson or anything.
We're not getting
like
rid of Teddy Roosevelt or
his
house.
We're patriots here, I mean. Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt's home.
And we're also going to send 4 things down to the desert of Death Valley.
Nope, the Undertaker's home.
What does that mean exactly? Quinn's going to give me a topic this week. Next week, I'll give him one. And we have to decide 4 things from that topic that should be on Mount Rushmore, and 4 things that need to go to the desert in Death Valley.
Think of it like an open debate.
An open debate of
because
the 4 best and 4 worst.
If you think about it, we only have 4 spots for each of these things, right?
That's right.
And it's probably going to get a little heated.
It might get heated. Quinn and I have to agree. That's one of the rules.
Yeah, but we only have 1 Mount Rushmore and 1 Death Valley. It's not like we have each
separate
Mount
one. There's only 1 Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, there's only 1 Mount Rushmore of the topic.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Quinn, you're going to start it. Let me know what we're putting on Mount Rushmore today and what we're sending to Death Valley.
So the Mount of Rushmore this week. Professional wrestling theme songs.
This will be fun.
Yeah, this should be fun. And there's various artists. Like
yes, there
Jim
are.
Johnston.
Sure.
Even CFO. He's the new one.
Yep. Jimmy Hart with J.J. Maguire.
Yes.
They wrote a lot of the 80s ones.
Right.
So, Quinn, what's your criteria for good entrance music? What would make it to the Mount Rushmore?
I always like to think something that's catchy, but kind of gets you pumped up for the match.
Okay.
Just, I mean, everyone, you kind of know what a good theme is. It's a theme you're humming after the fact, right? Or even sometimes in some cases, the audience is singing the song.
Okay.
You know?
A memorable song, perhaps, that
memorable.
When you think of the wrestler, you think of the song,
right,
and vice
exactly.
versa.
Yeah,
tied
definitely.
To the wrestler, tied to the character.
Right.
Tied to an era. I'm going to throw my first one out there for you then.
Okay.
Ric Flair's theme music.
Which one?
The theme from 2001 Space Odyssey. The main theme that he used. Not the WWF version.
I I'll debate it with you. I mean, I like it. I'm not sure it's like Mount Rushmore material.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
However, though, I will, it will be under consideration. I do think it's like, you definitely remember it and stuff. It's like, I guess it just doesn't hit the pumped up part.
That song is Ric Flair to me.
It is Ric Flair. However, would it be like among the Pantheon or the Rushmore in this case of songs? Yeah.
I think so, but okay, you throw me one.
What about just the Hulkster, brother? That's like the first theme music I think of.
Real American?
Real American, because, I mean, it's like, to me, like, that's like the real first song, like, I ever really heard in wrestling.
Really, it was?
Yeah, because when I would see old things, I would just, you know, I knew there was a song, and I knew it was Hulk Hogan's song.
Okay.
And, like, even if I know that when I'm not a wrestling fan yet, that's like, Real American is just, it's popping. Like, you're like, ugh. Like,
it was sung by a Rick Derringer.
Yeah.
Who was famous for a song in the 70s called Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. He also did Demolition's theme.
Oh, Demolition's theme.
Yeah, I know. That's
propose that one to the table.
I would say Real American goes on my Rushmore.
Okay.
I think that should be on there.
I would agree, too. So can we can settle that Hogan's theme, Real American, is, in fact, on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling themes.
It is on the Rushmore.
Okay.
So that's one.
That's one.
That has to be one of the best, most iconic, tied to the wrestler, representative of the wrestler that I've ever heard.
And you're like, yeah, when it comes out to it, right?
It's great. And ironically, it was actually written for the U.S. Express.
Was it? Oh, yeah, yeah,
Rotundo,
yeah. Rotundo
and Danny,
I've heard that,
and
yeah.
Barry Windham.
Yeah, because they were the Americans.
They were the real Americans.
Yeah, and then they kind of morphed Hogan into more of an American hero character
a little later. Exactly, yep. And he had it. I mean, that was his WWF theme after Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, and I mean, I think of the WWF classic era. I think of an era with that song.
That's what I mean, yeah. You just think of the Hogan era. You think of the 80s or early 90s.
Let's put it this way. When the WWF was mocking its past in the 90s, do you remember Patterson and Briscoe came out to Real American?
Absolutely.
That's how
right.
Identified it was with the era.
So Hogan's entrance is on there. He's where Teddy Roosevelt is.
Now, we had briefly mentioned Demolition.
I wouldn't put it on there.
I wouldn't put it on, but it is good.
Great song, but I mean, if Hogan is the first bar here,
yeah,
we have to find something that reaches that bar.
Okay. This one's a little more recent.
Okay.
And I definitely think it might reach the Hogan bar.
What?
Cena's theme.
Oof.
That song, like, I just, when he either comes out or he wins, like, it's just an awesome song in the background.
That is an awesome, awesome song.
I mean, everyone can, here's the thing, that this, it's memorable, but it also has that hummable quality that, like, you know, like, even our friends who aren't big wrestling fans, they know that at least John Cena's theme has those bars. Din, 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 din. Like, everyone knows that, right?
True.
Yeah.
I would put it under consideration next to Ric Flair for the time being.
Okay. Well, okay, so right now our under considerations are
Flair and Cena.
Flair and Cena.
So I'm going to give you one.
Okay.
And this one is probably representative of the Attitude Era.
Okay.
And I'm talking about that glass shattering and Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out.
Mm, I do like his theme. Now, you know what's interesting about Austin's theme?
Yeah.
I actually like the that like modified one. It's the one that played when like they had that like Aggression album. I don't remember what it was called.
I know what you mean. But I think Disturbed did that, and it had the lyrics, though.
Yeah, but here's... Yeah. Here's the thing about that.
I didn't like
Most of the songs from that were dog shit. But
including that one.
I guess I just associate that one with the WrestleMania 17, and I just, for some reason, like it. But yeah, Austin's theme...
The classic one.
...is very iconic. But I want to put it up for consideration for one reason.
Why? Okay, fine.
And this is kind of like in a separate category. Just keep it on the side. Table it for now.
We'll table it.
This is like Parliament or something. We're tabling.
We're in Parliament.
We're going to table the Austin theme and bring in to compare the Rock's theme.
Well, Okay, which one? Because The Rock had like a million themes
just
and variations.
The iconic, if you smell what The Rock's cooking, like the, okay. the like Modified Nation one, basically. Like, I kind of, and you know what? Actually, take that one, but actually, I like the, I think it's kind of the second version of that, the one that has the pew when he's like putting his hand up. It's got the guitar in it. That's like,
yeah, I know the one you mean.
That's kind of the best Rock theme. Like,
I would have to say Austin's theme is better.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Austin's theme with the glass breaking, that is the real American of the Attitude Era, my friend.
It's very close. Okay, how about this? So we can keep the moving.
Yes.
We're going to say a Rushmore spot will be taken either by The Rock or Austin, and we will discuss one more time at the end.
You wouldn't put Flair on there?
I still won't put Flair on there.
But if you really want to be fair to Flair, that's
the way to do it. Don't start with a fair to Flair.
I love Ric Flair, but I'm not going to put Ric Flair on there. I just don't think. See, this is where the debate comes in.
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
That might have to go on a Rushmore, Quinn.
But which Undertaker? And the Undertaker that I will say is the one that he had.
The electric guitar with the strings.
The Attitude Era one.
Yes.
Like the one. Not when he was.
You know, the one with the orchestra, but the original song.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of the more rocky one.
The one with the electric guitar. Can we just say the Undertaker's theme in general? Because it's the same song.
Yeah, I guess it is. But I mean, I don't think the first one is very like anything.
The organ only one? Yeah, no. But the one from like the later 90s is the one I'm thinking
the
of.
The later 90s.
He had a million variations of it, but that one.
I just want to make sure that we don't consider the Ministry of Darkness version or whatever. Like,
I'm just talking about like the Attitude Era Undertaker.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like 98 Undertaker.
Okay, that's the one I'm thinking of too. So
perfect.
We'll say 98 Undertaker theme.
Is it on there?
It is on.
All right, we got two. Because when you think of that song, any version of it, but we'll go Attitude Era version, that's the Undertaker.
Right, yeah.
There's never been another theme song. I mean, except for the American Badass version, yeah. I know that. But for that character of the Undertaker.
Yeah. The reason I say the 90s one is because to me, that's the most like pump you up version.
It
of
is.
It. Like, that's
it is.
Like the.
Right. You still identify with the character. It's still tied into him, but it gets you, it fits the time period that it's a part of.
Right. And it's like just the Undertaker. Like everyone knows that you hear the when the bell tolls. The fact that you can say something like the bell tolls and like people know that, oh, wait, the Undertaker? Like,
right.
They know it from the words, the bell tolls, and then they know it from the sound.
Absolutely. Yeah. It has every characteristic of a successful, long-lasting, catchy, good theme song.
Right.
It works, so it is on there next to Hulk Hogan.
Definitely.
Theme song was. All right.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm trying to think now.
Two out of four.
Here's the thing, is I really like a lot of the theme music that's been coming out by CFO.
Yeah, I do too.
And I kind of want to honor it because I think he's quickly ascended as one of the better artists.
Okay.
Let's go through some of them for a second.
Go ahead.
What, like Kevin Owens, that... The Sami Zayn.
I love that song.
Yeah, you like that one. I really like Shinsuke Nakamura's theme.
Yeah, I do too.
I know that's a little too new maybe, but you know, he's done the Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm. Glorious. Awesome.
Yeah, so...
I don't know if there's anything by him though that can
that
be
you would put on the
this.
Like
no.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
I don't think so.
What I would put on, but I don't know if people would like this one. I really like Daniel Bryan's like basic, but it's more like in the Ric Flair vein, I guess.
That's a public domain song though.
Yeah, the Flight of Valkyries.
Yeah,
but what's the one he had in Ring of Honor?
You remember? The Final Countdown.
The
by
Final
Europe.
Countdown. That was a fucking great.
Can
song.
We count that?
Oh man, I
don't know if we. I don't think I'd put it on there, but can we count? I guess if we can count 2001 Space
like,
Odyssey,
real songs.
I guess so. If we can count the Ric Flair one,
yeah.
But I wouldn't put it on there. But it was great. I mean, it's a great when he got up on the turnbuckle and yelled the Final Countdown.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
that was some good stuff.
Especially being there live for that.
Yeah, and Ring of Honor was really good with using original music as themes. But you know what? Maybe we've given its due, and maybe it's not on the Rushmore.
I don't think it's on the Rushmore.
But that's what this is all about, right?
Right. So let me ask you this one. We're talking about songs that already existed, you know, that weren't, you know, written specifically for something. And this one's actually public domain as well. NWO theme.
New. Yeah, New World Order. Yeah. I love the NWO theme.
Me too.
I think it's one of WCW's best. You know what I also like?
What?
If we're going to kind of explore WCW a little bit?
Yeah.
I really like Chris Jericho's second theme.
Yeah, you've told me that before.
I don't remember it.
I'll have to look it up and throw it in the post, like, but I don't remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Nirvana ripoff, but it's, like, pretty good.
Is it a Nirvana ripoff?
I think so.
I thought DDP had the Nirvana ripoff.
Well, or maybe I'm thinking of something else. No, it's like a Pearl Jam ripoff. That's what it
is. That was Raven.
No. Jericho's was, too.
Okay.
I wish we had, like, a soundboard of, like, that. Jericho's second theme is really up there for me. It's really, really good.
But we can't rush more of that.
We should rush more WCW theme, though.
Why? Only if they deserve it.
I guess so.
The WCW was not known for having great themes. Harlem Heat had a great theme, but you know what I found out recently? You know what I found out recently, though, Quinn?
What?
Harlem Heat, that theme song, that's public domain as well.
Is it really?
Yeah, that kind of ruined it
but
for me.
But nobody really associates it with
I know,
things.
But that kind of ruined it for me.
Really? Just because it's public, it being a good song shouldn't matter.
No, like, it's a great song, but I was finally like, yeah, WCW had a good theme, but it's not there. They didn't do that.
Let's just, under consideration, yeah. Harlem Heat's theme, a.k.a. Booker T's theme.
Yeah.
That is a really, like, memorable, like, I really like that theme.
I think if we're going to talk memorable, I think if we're going to talk in the category of fitting the character and iconic themes.
Yeah.
We would be remiss to not mention the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay. Yeah, that...
We got to talk big guys here. You know, we got to talk the big players here with
right.
the big themes.
I would, oh man, the Ultimate Warrior. That's easy. That's like a slam dunk Rushmore.
That was part of his appeal was his damn entrance and his music.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's on there with Hogan and Undertaker.
Hogan, Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, and we had the Austin Rock are like our two top contenders right now. But
according
I'm going to throw one more in there.
Okay, go ahead.
Bret Hart.
You know what? As big a Bret fan as I am, I don't know if I'd put that on there.
Oh, really?
Which version?
The, like...
The 94
Yeah,
onward.
94 till he left WWF. Like, that one is, like, pretty freaking good.
I always liked the other one better, believe it or not, the original one.
Really?
The Hart Foundation, you know, earlier solo music.
I can see why you would like it. To me, it's just kind of like the... I love the guitar. I liked what they were doing in the 90s, adding guitar into the original themes. Actually, like, to me, it was more like... it's just a lot more pop to it. Like,
okay. All right, well... I don't know. If you're going to say him, so, I mean, I'm going to say Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon, too.
He had a great theme.
Okay, we're really blowing up with the top four now. We got the Ramon. Ramones is really good.
It is. I mean, and that fits the character. It's just a catchy song.
Here's the thing, and I'm still elevating The Rock and Austin above both of those.
I agree 100%.
Okay.
No, I
didn't know
you.
If you would agree about Bret. I just wanted to bring it in.
And I wouldn't put Shawn Michaels in there either.
I don't think Shawn's is...
It's a stupid song. I mean, it's a dumb song.
The problem with it is it's designed to be his heel music when he first started, but they just kept it.
And like, sung by a woman, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
so
Sherry.
It's even weirder.
Yeah.
So it's like, no.
He kept it until he was 45, so it's like... As he should have. He should have.
No, I mean, it was associated... Like I said, if it's associated with you, you should keep it. Right?
Yes. Here's one for you.
What?
My Time by Triple H. His 99
oh,
2000.
Man. That's pretty damn good.
Before he switched to Motorhead.
Yeah.
That
well,
is
I,
such
I would say
a
Time
good
to Play
song.
The Game also is
by Lemmy. Yeah, that's
I really
good
like
too.
That one too.
That's good too.
I actually this is stupid, but I actually like Bow Down to the King also. Like it's good. Like it's a good song.
Now, let me ask you on a side note here, because you know this stuff pretty well.
Yeah.
Was that like his special event theme music? Is that
it
what it was?
His
big event music?
It's kind of, that song is kind of like moved up and down for what they wanted to use it for. Like at some points it would only be like his WrestleMania theme. And then for other times they would just decide that was just going to be his theme. And then they would revert back to the other one.
Time to play the game.
Yeah, and then they would just go back to the Bow Down of the King. Like I never understood their logic of like when it's appropriate. I've even seen it, I believe, used once is that he like, used like his regular time to play the game, and then like the song like merged into Bow Down to the King, like, or like he won the match and then it was Bow Down to the King. Like, it's like really, there's literally no rhyme or reason why they use one or the other.
What about the DX theme? No.
I have my own problems with that.
What?
Well, here's my biggest issue with it. When I was a kid, I really hated that that theme was associated with that weird shit they did to the screen during it. I hated that. Like, I love Shawn Michaels and I love DX, but I was like, I can't see them. Like, I didn't, like, for whatever reason, it just, like, went over my head. I was like, I don't get this. Like,
right.
Why can't I see their entrance? Like, it bothered okay. me. Like,
I got one more for you, what? And then I'm out of suggestions, I think. Yeah. Randy Savage, Pomp and Circumstance.
I would put it, but it just seems too generic, and I know that they kind of have a custom Randy Savage one. It's not like the normal Pomp and Circumstance used everywhere. If you noticed, it's like a slight...
It's
like,
a different recording. Well, he used a different one when he first debuted, remember?
Yeah, he used a more generic-y one, and then there was like just this one that they used by like around like...
87, right?
Yeah, well... Yeah, but I say it was more commonly. I always think of like WrestleMania 7 when he's got like that's like it's the same one. I'm just saying it's like that's when it stood out to me the most. It's like this is like Macho Man's theme.
So we got to pick a fourth one, Quinn. We've got Austin. We've got The Rock. You're trying to throw Harlem Heat on there. I don't think so.
No.
Are we throwing Cena up there into the mix?
Yeah,
here?
I think Cena. I thought we put Cena in there. We didn't.
He's not on Rushmore. No.
Fuck.
I'm personally fighting for Austin on this one. I think Austin's theme music is the theme music of the Attitude Era.
I do too.
I think it's what everyone was waiting for.
See, here's our problem.
Was that glass breaking?
I think the Undertaker threw us in a tizzy as far as our
that's one of the best themes of all time. Not even
here's
just the
problem.
Attitude
I think
era.
You're doing an injustice to Cena's era if you throw off his. I know it's stupid. But
well,
like,
then blame the Undertaker for hanging around in Cena's era for so damn long.
I know.
Old ass. I mean, you have to put the Undertaker on. That's
if,
one of the...
If you had a gun to my head, I'd say...
Gun to your head, Michael.
I'd say Stone Cold over Cena. I know.
A gun to your head, Michael.
I know, exactly.
Gun to your head now, Michael.
Yeah.
Stone Cold, right?
Stone Cold.
You have to.
And The Rock. Rock is definitely like an honorable
mention. The Rock,
he's
climbing the mountain, but he doesn't make Rushmore. How about that?
He's kind of like under Teddy Roosevelt's like chin, like on the mountain.
His mustache.
Yeah.
All right, so our final four on the Rushmore, we've got Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Undertaker. Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think that's fair. Folks, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Let us know your Rushmore.
Right,
of professional wrestling music.
I was going to say, put it, if you guys want, you can tell us on Twitter and stuff, but we'd like to interact with you more on the website also, so maybe leave it in the comments on the website,
mvppodcast.com.
You know, we have a comment section. You can log in with Facebook or, you know, if you have a WordPress account, whatever, or any account, you can pretty much log in and you can leave a comment right under the podcast.
We'd love to hear from you about that.
So
let us know, and I guess now, Quinn, we're going to send a few things to the desert, and I guess we should start with you.
Okay. I definitely have some stinkers to propose.
Oh, yeah?
And first and foremost in the Death Valley, the demolition shit theme from like WrestleMania, like that is utter garbage.
You hate that one.
I fucking hate that. That's a song to me that is like a ruiner of a tag team.
The
like,
lyrics I think that they didn't use were, "We're not pushing you."
Yeah, exactly. That one, and I think listeners of this show probably would have like guessed.
Maybe,
that I would immediately propose
if
that.
If you've been following along, you know that Quinn cannot stand that theme.
I hate it.
I can't say that I like it, but we need to find a yardstick here. You know, we need to find
that's definitely a yardstick.
You think?
Oh, it's dog shit.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's some pretty bad themes out there. Can you remember Giant Gonzalez's theme?
Wasn't it just...
Yeah, pretty much. It was like this new age music, but it was so quiet. And that's a bad one too.
That's bad. You know, in that same vein, and I was gonna this was kind of gonna be my second one.
What?
The Henry Godwin, like the first one, like
yeah, that's bad.
Like that shit. What the fuck is that?
Okay, wait. I can top that though.
Yeah.
T.O. Hopper, because it was just like a toilet.
It was just a toilet flushing.
Yeah. That might have to. I don't know. There are a lot of bad ones.
There are
that
a lot of bad
true.
Ones.
That is true. There really are.
Oh, right to censor. That's another poopy one.
That's going there.
Yeah. That's the. That's
one of the
hard.
Worst things to ever come out to ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that theme. Yeah. That is in Death Valley. That's number one.
Fuck that song.
Fuck that song. I'm with you.
Yeah, that song is utter
shit. It's just
shit.
Like, that's all it is, right?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. Any song that's just like a bunch of noise. Yeah, like...
Like pigs and toilets.
Pigs and toilets. So, would you put the Godwin in there?
No.
Really?
I don't know.
I was mentioning this at the break.
Yeah.
I hate Bam Bam Bigelow's, like...
Face theme. In
I wouldn't put it in Death Valley, but if we're talking about like stuff that just doesn't fit the character,
yeah,
it's just like stock music from like Primetime or some nonsense.
It was bad. The sax theme, yeah, like the synthy sax.
Yeah, it's not a bad theme. It's
no,
just
it's not.
It does like why is this Bam Bam Bigelow's theme?
Right, you got a 400-pound ass kicker, and he's coming out to like porno music.
Yeah,
you know, or like what Entertainment Tonight
okay,
music.
As far as like a big name, what do you think of? I know some people like this. I, for some reason, just don't like the Big Show's theme. Well, it's the Big Show. Like,
I don't mind it.
You don't mind it? Okay.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, I figured right. I'd throw it out there because it's just something that annoys me.
It's not particularly offensive.
So, if you're not going to put Godwin in there, like, that's like...
Well, I think if we're going to put Godwin in there, we have to put T.L. Hopper's theme in there.
Yeah.
Think
I feel like
about
we're
it.
Filling this up quick.
That's okay. I mean... All right, if you had to pick between T.L. Hopper's toilet flushing and the Godwins, like, and all that, I say T.L. Hopper's is actually worse. Because
see, I say Godwins because it's just more annoying. Why do I want to hear that?
You don't.
Yeah.
They both fit the character.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying they both fit
well,
the
they
character.
They fit the character.
They fit the era. Again, not a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Those are ones that stick out to me. I feel like we have to fill it with both.
All right, throw them both in there.
Yeah, because those are terrible.
Die.
And folks, obviously, like we said, for the best, let us know for the worst too.
Yeah,
let us know what you would send to Death Valley. So we got one more spot open.
Yeah, we do.
I'm with you though. We got to put T.L. Hopper down the toilet there in Death Valley, and fuck Henry Godwin's theme too. I agree with you.
It's garbage.
It's sucky. It's really sucky.
It's really shit. Oh, what do you think? Some people, and this is like a love-hate relationship, but what do you think of Diesel's first theme where it's just a bunch of truck noises?
It never bothered me, even though it's not a song.
I guess because when I'd always play the video game, the Raw video game, like I'd be like, what the fuck is
that
this?
That was
like,
annoying.
Yeah, I was like, this is stupid.
You know, Quinn, speaking of Raw video game too, almost on principle, I feel like I want to put Doink's face theme in there, Send in the Clowns or whatever it's called, because...
Oh, that might be a good one because you know why? It's because his first one's so fucking good.
Yes.
Like, it's like an insult, that
right,
fucking
right, because
theme.
It's just the clown music over and over again.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, do we have four in here?
We have three. We have Henry Godwin, we have T.L. Hopper, and we have Right to Censor.
Yeah, but the Demolition theme. I feel like that's the top contender right now. That shit theme.
What about 94 Heel Crush?
Eh, it's okay.
Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, Giant Gonzalez. Okay, so I'm going to say the two top nominees right now are Demolition...
Right.
The poopy theme.
Yeah, the poopy.
And Giant Gonzalez. Now, you know what's a good theme that's silence? Mm. Andre the Giant.
Yeah, very good theme.
Yeah.
Andre had an awesome theme.
I always call the theme just because it's like him coming to the ring as his theme.
That's his entrance music. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
That's all you fucking need to know. But it's like that album Silence or whatever.
Yeah, John Cage, song, yeah.
Yeah, that song Silence. I'm going to say that's those got to be the top two. I can't think of anything worse than that shit.
I'm sure there's some crap in WCW that we just don't remember.
Is there any more like notable, like very notable? I don't think so. Like,
I'm going to have to say, if you consider the scope of everything,
yeah,
considering what they did have and what they were given, and considering how they, you know, were de-pushed and everything.
Yeah.
And the way that kind of lined up, I'll go with you and I'll say, let's dump Demolition's heel theme into there.
Yeah, it's just so damaging. Like, it's like it terrible.
It was. That's exactly what it was. It was damaging. It was almost like insulting.
It's insulting to them. It's insulting to the fans who love, like, all the fans just want to hear is the fucking Demolition theme. Like,
yeah, I know.
Fuck you. Like, it's like a basically like a big middle finger.
Pretty much.
So fuck that song.
Fuck that song. It's in Death Valley.
So the final count is Right to Censor, the Demolition shit theme,
Henry Godwin,
and the toilet flush of Teal Hopper.
Now, Quinn, we wanted to get to a few honorable mentions of good themes.
Right.
What do you got for me?
I like Rick Martel's theme.
I'm with you.
The model theme. It's
great.
Like
great.
Yeah.
Great theme.
That song's just. It's just like relaxing and it like reminds me of an era.
I like both of Tito Santana's themes, the El Matador one and his like solo.
I don't like the El Matador
really,
one.
Really? I really like his solo music.
That's awesome.
You know, the funky. Yeah.
Reminds me of the Blue Note Club.
In Tijuana, right?
Exactly.
I think we would really fail if we didn't mention Million Dollar Man.
Oh, definitely.
Great.
I'm surprised we didn't discuss that about the other one. About the, you know, the Rushmore. There's some WCW themes I always remember. Like I said, the Chris Jericho second theme. I really, really like that.
I would say that's good, but I don't remember it the way you do. But you
DDP.
Know, DDP's a Nirvana ripoff.
Yeah.
Disco Inferno.
I was going to say Disco Inferno, too.
That's a fun song.
Yeah. I do you like Alex Wright's song?
No, not really.
Really. I always liked it because it was like there was nothing like it at the time. Like there was no like techno music.
I don't know.
Like, I thought it was cool, actually. I was like, do, 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 do. Yeah, like, I don't know. I liked it. I also like Fit Finley's theme.
Really?
That. Like, it just sounded. Because then it went into some weird, like, guitar. So I was like, I was like, this is awesome.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I always liked it.
Well, folks, send us your thoughts. Let us know whether it's the Twitter, whether it's the email, or use our website. You can talk to us there.
Yeah, yeah. Just and kind of have a conversation,
sure.
If you will.
Opinions differ. We're doing this off the top of our head, of course.
Yeah.
So we might have missed something. If we did, let us know. Let us know what you think is the best that should go on Rushmore, or the worst that we send down to Death Valley to die in the desert.
Yep.
And with that, we will be back right after this.
Experience the deafening thunder that is Vader. The dementia that is the deranged mankind. The haunting mystery that is the Undertaker. And the unrelenting rage that is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Experience WWF The Music Volume 2. There are 15 of your favorite WWF original jams in all. To order, call 815-734-1161 or send a check or money order to the address on your screen. This album is available in stores, but why delay? Get yours now!
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, Season 3, Episode 1, and also Episode Number 21 overall.
Right.
Not to confuse anyone. We're still here. We never break.
We never, ever break.
We're like the Postal Service.
Yeah. Rain, wind, snow.
Rain, wind. Is wind one of the ones?
Mountains, weather.
Monsoons.
Gorillas.
Folks, a quick reminder, tweet at us at OVP Podcast. You can also email us at ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. And Quinn, we're other places?
Yeah, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, FM Player, Blueberry, and also the website OVP Podcast. And, you know, like we were saying before the break, you can leave comments on there.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah,
we have a comment system.
We have a system.
There's a comment system on there. And if you fans want to debate with us, possibly.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Those Rushmore and Death Valleys. Or maybe propose some of your own. Maybe we forgot some.
You know, that's a great thing about opinions, Quinn, is everyone has one and ours is right. All right, folks.
That's correct.
So, back by popular demand, we received hundreds of thousands of requests. Okay,
None. Yeah.
We're reviewing something.
Yeah.
I'm glad we are.
Yeah, the review stays.
The review stays for season 3,
folks. I
think
the review's not going away anytime soon.
I think there's so much content out there.
Yeah.
This is something that is, I'll be honest with you, for Quinn and I, out of our comfort zone, out of our familiarity.
This particular episode,
this
yes.
episode, yeah. What we sat down and watched was USWA Championship Wrestling.
I know nothing about this. All I know is there's guys that I know from WWE in it.
Yeah. So it's USWA Championship Wrestling from January 9th, 1993. And I want to set the stage here because, Quinn, January 11th, 1993 was the first Monday Night Raw.
So this is coming off Raw.
This is you're saying, set this in contrast.
So this looks like dog shit compared to Monday Night Raw. This is not even close to what WWE was doing. This looks like World Championship Wrestling from the 80s in Jim Crockett Promotions.
We get a 90s intro, Quinn, you noted, but with an 80s logo.
Yeah, it was weird. It was kind of like a 90s-ish, like, I guess you'd say kind of futuristic, right?
Yeah, a little CGI.
Yeah.
You know, primitive CGI.
Yeah, spinning ring.
Right.
And, like, they're in like a virtual arena with shit on the screen on the top.
Now, I suppose I should mention, what was USWA? Well, basically, the United States Wrestling Association. What it was a combination. It was part of a merger in around 1989, 1990 of CWA, which was the Memphis territory, right, and the old World Class.
And it was, that's weird.
Yeah, and the World Class aspect of it was phased out early on. It was pretty much out of it by 93.
Yeah.
And what it was, believe it or not, and you wouldn't think it if you watched this without knowing it.
No, you wouldn't.
It was an attempt, and not a very successful one, to be like the new number three, because AWA had folded by then.
Why do you want to be the number three?
Just be like, a good territory.
Yeah, why?
Like, and it was a good territory.
Yeah, I mean, from what we saw, it's got its
stories.
I know a
bit about it, yeah. And it, but there's no way that this was competing with Vince or Turner.
Yeah, hell no.
No way. So anyway, we will head to the show here. So they had their show was on Channel 5 in Memphis, whatever that is.
It looked like it was an NBC affiliate from later on commercials.
I think
saw
it might have been.
Yeah.
Yep, I think it might have been. You're right. So we're hosted unfortunately, not by Lance Russell, you know, the legendary announcer in Memphis.
Yeah.
Awesome announcer, yeah. Lance Russell. Not by him, but by Dave Brown.
Yeah, we'll not the football player.
Yeah, not the horrible 90s
Giants quarterback. Yeah, not him.
Dave Brown, who we'll get more on him later.
Yeah.
And Corey Macklin.
Hello again, everybody. Dave Brown and Corey Macklin here at ringside. We're ready to go with another day of USWA Championship Wrestling.
Quinn, you noted they're very slick.
They're very slick. I thought their suits were pretty upscale, and I was kind of surprised because they looked almost modern the way they were dressed. I was like, that's like, you know how like the suit style now is more like cut to the body?
Fitted.
Yeah, it's more fitted. And I was like, what the?
Yeah, it was ahead of its time.
If I recall, like, people's suits in the 90s were big and floppy.
That was
and
the
stupid.
Style.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look sharp.
They look sharp. They look slick.
So the arena, if you want to call it that, because it's not, it's really the TV studio.
Right. you put in the notes that it looks like a bathroom stall.
It looked like shit.
Now, I'm gonna say this, though. I would say it didn't look like a bathroom stall. It looked too clean, if you ask me. Like, it was like, it looked to me like a Discovery Zone or something, or a sports and stuff, like when they just put a ring in it. Like,
well, you know what? I think they'd do better to put a ring in the basement.
Yeah. Well, it looked like a ring in a finished basement. Like, you know when you go to those weird restaurants and it looks like the fixings, like the doors and stuff like that, they look like they should be in someone's like 90s designed house. That's what this looked like.
Okay.
If you can put yourself there.
So we're on the show for but 2 minutes, and then we cut to some commercials. Yes, this one has commercials.
And the commercials are a lot in this
one. Oh, yeah.
This is,
I think this review is going to be mainly commercials.
This was, I couldn't believe how much commercials, and they were like the same like five or six commercials.
So we start with a Pepsi Pigpen party from Kroger, the grocery store.
This was weird because it was like an animated thing, and there was like animated Pepsis flying through the air, but the logo of the Pepsi was all fucked up.
It was bootlegged.
It was a bootleg version of the 90s Pepsi logo, but like then they showed the picture of a Pepsi, like, and it's going to be on sale for like $5 or something. Like, yeah.
And then we get a commercial for Greg's Red Tag Suit Sale.
This is a really weird advertisement. It's like this weird, like, almost like nervous, geeky character going like,
why is his suit so nice?
Yeah, and then like all of a sudden a big like cardboard red tag gets like planted on his head, like a guy from the side of the camera put like a cardboard tag, gigantic, like over the top big tag with their like logo and stuff, and just flopped it on his head. And then it starts showing us, you know, Greg's
all the suits and all that. So we get that, and then we get Dennis Hall's auto salvage, and there were some junky ass cars.
Yeah, we get to see some more junky ass cars later in this show.
And Quinn, it's tax season. Did you know you can get your rapid refund from H&R Block, so you can buy your microwave or your portable TV?
The portable TV. Like, and this guy was really loving his portable. You see him like walking around, I was like, wow, yeah, it's a portable!
A portable, JR!
Yeah, I have a portable TV, it's my cell phone, but...
This is 93, Quinn.
Yeah.
And then... We finally go back to the show,
yeah,
and we have Laura Davenport. We'll get to her. She's a lady in a dress, and Quinn has some things to say. And she's at ringside taking notes for this match, which is Tony DiNucci versus Brian Christopher, which, of course, is Jerry Lawler's
the
son.
The Brian Christopher, the,
unfortunately,
you know, Grandmaster Sexay. And
someone that I've never liked as a wrestler.
You don't like him.
No, he sucks.
He's okay. I mean, he's not the worst, but he's not good either.
Quinn, you and I both noticed the ring skirt is too small here.
Well, here's the thing. The ring skirt isn't there, I think.
It covers half of the ring. You can see the metal...
bottom rivets. of the rivets of the ring, and like there's even like some kind of like axle under there. You can see like the supports underneath the mat. Like, it's dumb.
Very strange. Two guys, and we find out who they are in a little bit, accompany Brian Christopher. Quinn, they look like accountants.
Yeah, it looked like two accountants, one in like really stupid khaki pants too.
All fat.
Apparently they're wrestlers.
Apparently they are.
Yeah.
And Quinn, you have a problem with Brian Christopher's stupid laugh.
Yeah, the first thing I hear is that ha ha ha, like it's so over the top, but not in a good way. It's just dumb.
It's not like King's 90s laugh.
Right.
I think it's much worse.
I feel like it's aping it, but it's not good. Like, it's
awful.
Just not, like, it's not even in a way where, like, it's trying to get on your nerves. It's just like, you're like, this is just why.
Just why you do this.
Yeah, like, why? Like, don't, just don't. It's not, it's not really getting you over as a heel. Like,
right.
It's just stupid.
And Quinn, you asked me a very important question here. You asked me which Jerry Lawler wife is he from?
Well, I don't know how many wives King officially has. It's somewhere in the teens, I think, but...
No, that's her age.
Oh! Yeah.
Thank you.
But, I'm very curious where Brian Christopher came from, because it is weird that King has like a full grown son, considering all his wives are probably like younger than Brian Christopher. So
now, Quinn, you and I noted this, and I know you agreed with me. The announcers are awesome.
Yeah. They're really good.
Corey Macklin are awesome.
I was genuinely surprised, because for a show that was like kind of low budget and weird
in a, like, new studio,
yeah, for them to have like legit really awesome announcers is, that's good.
Yeah, they were, they were
kinda
really good.
That kind of makes it all tolerable, and it puts it all together, and it just points out the point you always make about how commentary teams can fix a lot of things.
They can, because they're your narrators for the show,
right,
you're watching. They're your hosts. They take you through all this.
They're what you hear the most.
Right. That's absolutely true. Yeah. So if they're bad, that can ruin the show.
Right.
But if they're good, it can really help. And now, Quinn, did it bother you that the ref had white shoes?
I think they were just ring boots. Like, it was just like wrestler boots with like his pants. But I hate when the refs like don't have kind of a uniform. It really,
yeah,
like,
that does bug you.
Like, what the like, isn't this supposed to be like sanctioned by the USWA? Like, don't they have some kind of rules? Yeah,
because he was wearing like the, you know, the WWF attire, you know, the boxing ring, the boxing ref attire, the blue shirt, the pants,
right?
But white boots,
it makes no sense.
That's fucked up.
I just think you gotta get that shit under control.
No, you can't do that.
Right. If they did that now, people would be like, what the fuck is this bootleg shit?
It's true. Can't wear white shoes. Quinn, you noted to me, how many people are here? 58?
Yeah, I was trying to gauge the size, actually. I think we talked later. It looked like maybe, possibly, there was like 500 at the most there.
Yeah, and that's probably
a
stretch.
Yeah, that's a stretch. Maybe 200.
Yeah, we could probably look it up, but it's probably, I'd say between 150 to 300.
Yeah.
It's in that range. It's a small little studio.
It probably went further back than we could see.
Maybe, I don't know.
Possibly, because there was that one left side that you can't really see a far back.
True. Believe it or not, the match is pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And I would say most of the matches are not, like...
They're not long.
Terrible.
This is the longest match, I think.
Yeah, this is the longest match, and it's kind of featuring Brian Christopher a lot.
It's okay. It's not a bad match. DiNucci looked good. Christopher looked fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, nothing horrible. So one of the goons out there, one of the accountants, is Zeke Rivers.
And who?
Exactly. What he does is he holds a chair up, you know, for Christopher to bang DiNucci into.
Yeah.
But DiNucci reverses and slams Christopher into the chair and covers for two. Damn it.
Now, you know what? I wasn't one of them called Mr. Clyde or something.
Like, I don't remember. I didn't write it down.
I swear that was real. Like, I think, and that was the guy who used the chair. Is Zeke Rivers another guy?
I don't know, Quinn.
I'm not that I'm trying
they didn't
to
say.
I'm not trying to split hairs here. I just thought
Zeke Rivers was the chair guy.
I just thought Mr. Clyde is a stupid name, and I felt like mentioning
it. Is it really Mr. Clyde?
That's what they did say, Mr. Clyde.
Quinn, you said to me, I hope DiNucci wins. He looks like a legit wrestler.
Yeah, he does.
Brian Christopher looks like somebody's son.
Yeah. Exactly. And, I mean, he just looks like he's only there because of nepotism.
Yep.
And he's not good.
He's not really good, no.
And I would say I always liked the Grandmaster sexy character. I think he developed into something later, but right here he just looks like, I'm only here because Jerry Lawler is my dad.
Yeah, I mean, he's young here. He's probably 22 here, 23
maybe
at the
oldest. And he's being pushed
as
like the top heel.
Right. It's a little weird. Now, this is the thing. This is a 3-4 minute match. The ref gets bumped in this match.
Yeah.
Really?
You know what? I got the gist that Brian Christopher's MO is that, like, he's just a complete rule breaker. He can't win anything on his own.
Rule breaker? What are you, Bill Apter?
Don't call them the Apter Mags.
He's not a fan favorite.
I mean that, like, in, like, some heels are just kind of, like, rough or something. Or they don't
cheat too much.
They don't cheat too much. He's like, everything is cheating. Like, every single little thing is cheating.
Right.
So a ref bump seemed kind of in his character.
Fair enough.
Let's put it that way.
One of the goons throws Christopher a chain because apparently we're in, like, two bad dudes or, like,
and we're in Anchorman or something. Yeah.
Brick, where'd you get a chain?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why does he need this to beat a jobber? He's the top heel in the company. What the hell? Like, seriously.
It's true. And this was the part that didn't make sense to me. So we have a ref bump. The ref sees the chain anyway.
No. This made sense to me, actually.
No, but why do the ref bump is what I mean.
Oh, well, because the idea was to get it over that the goons were complete idiots, right? So they got... They helped him with the chain while the ref was knocked out.
Right.
And then when the ref wakes up to count Brian Christopher, the other goon, if you noticed, he was reaching for the chain entirely too late.
True, okay.
And he, you know, what happens, happens. Here.
Yeah, basically, DiNucci wins by DQ.
Right.
So you got your wish, Quinn. DiNucci won.
Yeah, DiNucci did win.
So then we get, this is funny, Christopher gets on the mic, you know, over by the announcers because it's all in the same studio.
Right, right.
And he berates the goons. He says they're stupid as dirt.
Yeah, and that's what they got over, because I like the little touch. Like I had said, why is the goon getting the chain out of the
that
ring
late?
Right when the ref is getting up? Like,
fair.
He had so much time to get it. Like,
that's true. And Christopher's good on the mic in this case, you know, considering the context. But to me, Quinn, he sounded like a 14-year-old kid doing a Jerry Lawler impression.
Really, he really sounds like an idiot.
You are stupid as dirt, aren't you, huh?
So then we get this lady again, Lauren Davenport, and she gets on the mic. She wanders over, and she calls the guys goons.
She does. Now, you put she's wearing a tablecloth. Her dress, it's so distracting, this whole show, right? And I'll tell you why. It's weird to me that, like, it's the 90s, right? And, like, I know it's the early 90s, but she's dressed like a grandma.
From the 1890s.
It's almost
fine,
like
the 1940s.
It's like like a 1940s grandma,
like your grandma.
Right, she's dressed like an actual grandma,
like grandma.
But this girl's like 20 something. Like, so it's so confusing and off-putting.
The dress,
show, because she keeps coming back. I looked her up afterwards, and I was like, "Is this like I was like befuddled?"
Yeah,
by
you were
this
like, "What is her gimmick? What is this?"
Like, I was like, "Is she supposed to be like old school or something, or supposed to be like super innocent?" And then I go to find like footage, even like it looked like it was the same year, and she's dressed like all like
hookery,
and like so. I was like, "What was going on here?" Like, I'm like intrigued. Does like anyone know anything about Lauren Davenport? Like, was there a gimmick where she was trying to play innocent on purpose? I just don't get it.
I know nothing about her, and I won't pretend to.
Yeah,
this is the first time I ever heard of her.
Right.
So anyway, she gets back on the mic, and Brian Christopher the whole thing here is he's got a hair versus hair match with Jeff Jarrett.
Right.
Coming up. So he keeps trying to get other people to put their hair on the line.
Which I think it's funny on the first person he tells a lady to put her hair on the line. Like, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because she's like, I'll do anything for you if I could be your valet.
No lady in real life would put her hair on the line in a wrestling match.
Except Molly Holly, because she's awesome.
I'm saying, like, in a, like, real life context. He's asking a manager. It doesn't, like, what?
Right.
Like, yeah.
So, of course, she says no.
Yeah.
And then Christopher proceeds to call her a leech, and then he calls her a woman.
Oh, yeah, woman. I don't need you, woman. All you want to do is be a leech. You want to take me for all my money or something, huh? Just like every other woman.
Like, 19 times.
He's really trying to put over this, like, I mistreat women thing. And it's like, it looks really bad in, like,
what are you, a woman?
Yeah, like, and, like, it looks bad at any time, but even in our times now, like, where it's, you know, we know better, right? Like, it's
not that the 90s was a long time ago, but I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the attitudes were different, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it looks fucking awful.
It looks awful.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's a good heel.
Yeah, it's a good heel in a way, but it's also, like, I guess it seems more unrealistic to us now.
Right. So so Brian Christopher says women are good for nothing. He's still out there when big fat Burt Prentice,
who I think it's Burt Reynolds, is because I swear he said that.
He didn't. And Mike Samples, who's a wrestler, arrived.
That's the worst name ever, by the way. Mike Samples.
Terrible. Like, they want him back. I guess they were with him before. I don't care, so don't tell me. But anyway, so all this talking still, like, what is this, Raw?
Yeah. But I said to you, I'm like, they're really trying to put over the house show stuff, right?
I mean,
what's going on here?
We've had about 3 minutes of wrestling and 20 minutes of talking, and then Quinn, you said to me, why is everyone clamoring to manage Brian Christopher?
I wouldn't clamor to manage him ever. Like, I don't see, like, anybody, why would they ever want to do that? He's terrible.
He's not
like the only
good
person that would ever want to manage Brian Christopher is Jerry the King Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so the fat team here, Samples and Bertolucci, whatever his name is, they also refuse to put their hair up.
Right.
So he calls them women.
He calls them women. Yeah.
Y'all want to use me? Couple of women standing out here, huh?
And then they just come.
Yeah, they just fucking get out of there. And then,
that was awesome, right? They're just like, okay, bye.
It's like, fuck you. Yeah. See you. Like, basically.
No altercation or anything. They're just like, all right.
Yeah, and then off to commercial break.
And that is for Sunrise Pontiac GMC.
And I say, wow, Pontiac, they don't even make that anymore.
That's true. Now, Quinn, we get probably the best commercial. This is for the
the Pizza Hut buffet.
Count me in.
Yeah. $3.99.
Now, folks, look. Our fans are from all over the country and actually all over the world.
We have
a lot of fans in the UK and stuff like that. Look, we're from the Northeast, specifically the New York metro area.
Yeah, the New York metro area. So pizza here is, like, worlds better.
And I'm sorry, it is.
That's not us just saying it. That's, like, a known, like, I've heard people who have lived in the South and come up here or lived elsewhere in the country.
Yes.
Say, oh my God, it's so much better. And I know that has to do with the water or consistency.
The water
or something.
For the dough, a few things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying New Jersey or New York has the best pizza.
And sure, there's different styles, like Chicago.
Right.
You know, like,
we're saying it's better than Pizza Hut.
Right.
Like, worlds better than Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can just go to our local pizzeria.
We have five in our town, and we have a very small town.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is, like, in New Jersey, for example, it's like pizza is, like, just everywhere because, like, it's just, I think because the ingredients are, you know, easy.
Cheap. Common.
Yeah, and the water especially makes it better.
I don't think I've had anything from Pizza Hut since 1995, and that was because of someone's birthday.
I went to Pizza Hut one other time because I was at Kmart, and they have a Kmart thing there, and I was like, what's this? So I tried it,
that
and I was
Pizza Hut sucks!
Yo, that place was awful. But now, that's another story altogether.
Like I said, we live in a town that is probably less than 2 square miles, and we have, like, five pizza places in the town, not counting the ones right outside of it.
Yeah, there's one's literally on the border of the town too, so it's like
we don't need
across
that
across the street from the border.
Exactly. Like, not on each side.
Yeah, on each side.
So we don't need that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Circuit City, Quinn, speaking of things that we don't have anymore or don't have,
Circuit City,
out of business, man.
Oh, really?
But back then in 93, they were having their annual warehouse sale. You can get a VCR for $179.
I thought that was all the other stuff made sense price-wise that they advertised, but the VCR, it's like, I don't remember VCRs. Like, I remember when they were really expensive, but I also remember, like, by the 90s, they were, like, you know, $80 or something.
Were they? I don't remember.
I feel like that was, like, the going price if you went to, like, just a regular store.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
The thing is there was, like, a washing machine for, like, $229.
That was what I was like, whoa, that's really low. Like,
and then the VCR is only $50 less?
Yeah, what the hell? Like, must have been a really shitty washing machine.
Or a really good VCR.
It's like, they're selling VCRs like their iPhones. Like,
so we get a clip for Action 5 News.
Yeah.
Or Action News 5.
They've got all the news.
They've got all the news.
Yeah.
And then the manager of the Moondogs.
The Moondogs?
The Moondogs!
We're talking about the Moondogs.
They're
now?
There. Yep.
Okay.
His name is Richard Lee.
They're like 1,000 years old at this point, by the way.
They need to be put down.
They're not even here, luckily. So.
They're 1,000 in human years, let alone dog years.
Oh, dog years. They're like 7,000 years old.
And they're manager is Richard Lee. He has a green baseball cap, and Quinn, you noted that he's like fake Pauly Dangerous.
Yeah, he really is. He's got the Pauly style of hat, that higher hat thing.
your pet peeve?
Yeah.
The high hat?
Yeah, why just wear it on your fucking head? Like, but like, yeah, he's just fake Pauly Dangerous.
He says the Moondogs are at the gym, really.
Yeah.
They don't look like they go to the gym. And then...
I don't know if they can lift anything with their bones are like falling apart. They usually chew on their bones, but, you know.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We get more, because the show needed this, more Mike Samples of Burt Prentice.
Yeah, what the fuck? Everyone's, like, reused, like, 14 times
like,
on this show.
There's, like, three people on the show.
Yeah.
I swear. And they storm in with the Bruise
of
Brothers.
Of all the people.
Ron and Don Harris.
Yeah, who are ECW bound at this point, pretty, like, about a year later-ish.
Yep.
Like, late 94, I think they showed up in ECW.
As the Bruise, right?
They were still the Bruise Brothers.
And then they go to WWE.
It's cool to see them before they were...
Yeah.
Because I like their ECW incarnation,
sure.
I guess you'd call
it. They were fine in ECW.
Yeah.
So they storm in, they beat Lee, fake Paulie, with chairs, some wussy-ass chair shots in the ring.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if this guy was a wrestler, or it was just a personality.
He was an idiot.
They beat him up.
Finally King!
Yeah.
And Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett has the big baby face. This is weird to me.
King and Jarrett are both face.
Yeah, and King, this is also, King's already in the WWF.
He had just debuted a few weeks earlier.
Big fucking heel.
That's right. There was
so weird to see King, like...
There was this kind of dichotomy here going on where King was a heel in WWF, and mainly if... I mean, he flipped back and forth in Memphis.
I always thought of King in Memphis, like, once he went to WWF, even by 93, like, it was like his hobby. Like, it was like this weird other promotion.
He was kind of there almost all the time.
Yeah, he was.
He was only in WWF, like, when he needed to be.
Yeah, well, in the early parts.
The early parts. He was until about 97, 98.
I feel like King during the week would go do his
WWF
shit.
Yeah, because he did his WWF voiceovers that he needed to do.
What was Vince's thinking? Did he just not have a problem with them because they weren't real competition?
He had a talent exchange with them.
Okay.
That's how they got Jeff Jarrett.
Right.
That's how they got...
Probably Brian Christopher, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why would they want him, but...
All right, that was probably because of King. But yeah, they had a talent exchange, and it worked. It was okay. Yeah. They used to send, like, Randy Savage went down to Memphis sometimes, and...
They probably got... Well, Jacqueline went to WCW before
Not related. Coco Beware went down there.
Yeah.
So it was a nice little thing.
Okay.
So Mike Samples Quinn is dressed like IRS.
He's got suspenders and everything.
I'm not impressed by him or Burt Prentice, obviously.
I don't know why they're featured. They suck.
They're really bad. So we go back to commercial yet again, and it's more of the Greg's Red Tag sale.
Right.
Same damn commercial. Then a trailer, Quinn, for a movie that I think is underappreciated. I've seen it. You've seen it. Alive.
Alive, yeah. Controversial for its eating people scenes, but... I mean,
it's about a team of a rugby team in the 70s that got stranded in the Andes.
Their
plane crashed
and they a bunch of people lived through it, and they had to make it out of the Andes in the middle of the winter.
Yep. And they had to eat.
Yeah.
the people that
died. They had to eat the people because they were literally starving.
Yep.
Like, so. Like,
and it is a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story, Michael.
Royal Discount Furniture, wanted an ugly bedroom set? How about a mattress that somebody peed on?
That girl, like, no, what's funny is there's this girl on the mattress and she's like, she's like sitting on it all seductively and it's like a pee mattress, like pee yellow mattress.
There's like no cover, no sheets on the mattress.
Right. And I go, I don't remember 90s furniture looking so shitty.
It was bad looking. Yeah. Then we get some Toyota dealership commercial. Who cares?
With a Tercel in the background.
A 92 Tercel, I believe. Yeah. Then Sammy's Men's Shop. Like, yeah, I'd go there.
Yep.
And then Inside Edition with the secrets of Elvis and Colonel Parker.
The best part was there was like a guy, like he's like at the Elvis mansion or whatever, like in the commercial. And he's got like his foot up like Captain Morgan, like being like, I'm going to tell you about Elvis. Like
Captain Morgan.
Yeah, he did. He had that foot up like Captain Morgan thing.
He did. You're right. I can't lie.
Yeah.
So we come back and we get Jeff Jarrett versus J.D. Wolf. Who cares?
What a name. Oh, you know what? This J.D. Wolf.
Yeah, this fella.
He had like neon tights on,
this
like
gentleman.
How that was like popular in the 90s.
Yeah, this
problem
sir.
Is, the problem is he looks like somebody's like middle-aged father.
Yes.
But like in like 90s, like I guess kind of Jeff Jarrett-y. Tights, basically.
Unfortunately,
like
yeah.
What Jeff Jarrett would kind of wear, and he's fighting Jeff Jarrett. So
it's like that episode of Full House where Danny tries to sing in Jesse's band. He tries to sing My Generation.
Was this when he was in the Rippers or in the Hot Monkey Puppets?
Oh, this is
whatever?
The Rippers era. This is like 91.
Okay. Yeah,
the Hot Daddy and the Monkey Puppets era was short. That was only the last season.
Yeah, I just remember that whole episode where he had to like transition to the Hot Monkey
Puppets.
I love
that whole storyline.
It was
sad. That'll be coming up in our Vantage Point, the Retro Full House podcast.
Yeah.
So, same ref as before. This is only our second wrestling match, by the way.
Yeah.
Jarrett,
well, it ramps up on the wrestling matches later.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Jarrett is the Southern Heavyweight Champ. That was kind of like their IC.
Yeah.
And Quinn, you said to me, do you realize this is a feud between two guys whose daddies run wrestling promotions?
Yep. That's what and then it dawns on you why these people are where they are. And I believe CWA was Jarrett's dad, right?
This is, yeah. Jerry Jarrett ran USWA also. Lawler didn't own it yet, but he was pretty much like.
Yeah, I mean, like.
As close as you could get.
The company was. Basically centered around Lawler, so like
yes.
it wouldn't exist if
correct.
Jerry Lawler wasn't there. Like
he was the Memphis
so basically
promotion.
He had the leverage to
correct.
Basically like, and it's no
coincidence
that he bought it. You
exactly.
Know? Like, yeah,
Jarrett wins with the horrible DDT.
Yeah,
awful DDT.
That, is that his finisher?
It shouldn't be.
I thought it was the figure four.
So the no, that was later.
Yeah.
So the announcer, Dave Brown, references PWI Weekly. That was kind of PWI's answer to the Wrestling Observer, like the weekly newsletter.
Okay, I didn't know if when he said that, I didn't ask you at the time, but I didn't know that was official PWI. I thought that was like something that's made up.
No. PWI Weekly was their newsletter that came out weekly, and it was kind of to combat the WON. Yeah.
That's... probably didn't work because they talk about kayfabe in there.
Exactly. No, they didn't. They broke kayfabe in
oh,
it.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, they broke kayfabe. They would talk about contracts and things
okay.
like that. But I don't blame them for giving it a shot,
yeah.
You know, and trying
that's
to like...
fine.
Why not?
Don't call them the Aftermags.
Don't call them the Aftermags.
Yeah.
Don't call them the Aftermags.
All right, so Jarrett sounds so much more Southern than I remember him ever sounding in this promo here.
You think? I didn't notice it that much.
Dave... I'm so out of breath, Dave.
It's an awful promo, too. He's like stuttering and stammering.
Well, there was that part. I did see. I mean, that was bad. It looks like Jarrett's very. I don't know how green Jarrett was at this point, but he seems green.
He was greener than an unripened banana. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a good one.
So who interrupts Quinn? Lauren Davenport.
Lauren Davenport.
God.
Is it Lauren or Laura?
Does it matter?
Yeah, I don't even know anymore. But
now, does any interview not get interrupted on the show? Again, what is this, Raw?
Yeah. Again, I ask, why does she dress like this? I don't understand it.
Folks, like, she's got like the blue dress on. It's like the stereotypical white-haired Barbara Bush, like the first lady
but
dress.
But here's the thing. It's like the dress would be fine, but she has that white It's like a tissue or something like that, you know, like Barbara Bush would wear.
Exactly.
It's so weird. Like, it for a young woman, it makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, and I instinctively thought it was the gimmick, like that, but it wasn't even that.
No,
like,
it's just the way it worked out, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
I was really confused.
So she tries to be Jarrett's valet now, and of course he's not having it. And yeah. I just have to mention, Quinn, she has Rockin' Robin hair.
And this was the point where we look at each other and we're like, wait a second, is that Rockin' Robin? And we looked and it isn't.
It's not.
It's unfortunate that it isn't, because I thought that would actually be
funnier
if it was Rockin' Robin.
If that was Rockin' Robin.
Yeah.
I love the announcers. They're really good at just dealing with this. They do it in a way where they're professional.
Yeah.
Quinn's reading the next note. Yeah. So I might as well say it. We go to commercial and we get more of Greg's bullshit sale.
Yeah. I'm sorry, folks. I read the note ahead. I lost my shit. Because I don't see the notes Joe writes down.
Yeah.
He kind of takes the notes and notes what I say and stuff like that.
Yeah, Quinn sees them once we do the review.
A little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I broke kayfabe there. Sorry.
It's fine. You were like PWI Weekly.
Yeah.
Breaking kayfabe. Then we get Leave Auto Parts. Yeah. Leave me alone. But it's good. It's good for when you need your bucket seat for your 1980 Capri. Could this be any more Memphis right now?
Yeah.
Aha, do you have a bucket seat for my 1980 Capri?
This is the one, right, where the guy at the end talks. Like, there's like every stereotype in the world of the people working in the place, and then like at the very end, it's like the most southern fucking shit ever. But like, I'm saying, like, I don't like stereotypes.
I don't either.
So like, it kind of annoys me, like, when it's so highlighted. Like, and I'm sure it was like unintentional, but it's just like, I don't know. I feel bad almost. Like, I feel guilty.
I'm just laughing because why do you need a new seat in your car? Like, what did you do in there that you need a new seat?
Well, I mean, if the
How?
If in the 90s the sofas had pee stains in them, what if you pee stained your seat?
But how do you ruin a whole seat of a car? What do you do?
A kid drops ice cream on it or something. I don't fucking know. It is weird, right? It's like, why would you need a new seat? Is it like, was somebody like playing with the lever thing? Yeah, it's like, what? How do you even do that?
I don't know. So, Quinn, you say this reminds me of a weird time in the 90s where everything seemed cheap.
I don't know why, like, I thought of this. Like, I just thought of, like, watching, like, shitty TV commercials, like, in my dad's house. And, like, everything just, there was, like, this cheapness about some of these local ads back then. And this, like, captured it perfectly.
Now, as you're saying this to me, a commercial for Rentronics comes on. It's where you can rent for like $4 a month.
Yeah,
it's like your fucking toaster oven and shit.
It's really.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry, folks.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, but it's funny.
It is ironic. Yeah, let's put it that way.
It's old. It's a different time, but it's funny.
Yeah, but it's weird. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So on Friday, January 22nd, the Moondog Battle Royal.
What the fuck is that? Like, what are they gonna fight on the moon with dogs in the ring? Like, I know there's the moon, and the moon dogs are gonna be like floating. Like, what the fuck is a Moondog Battle Royal?
I don't know, Quinn, but tickets are available at Furniture World.
Yeah, that was the best part. Tickets available at Furniture World. May I ask why? Is this match going to take place at Furniture World? Like, it didn't say.
It's like WWE NXT, tickets available at Sears.
Yeah, tickets available at Macy's. Like, like,
Macy's.
Yeah, what the fuck?
So we get a slew of on-screen graphics here just showing matches for upcoming cards. And at one point, we have some people over at the time. One of our friends walks in and he's like, why are they not showing anything?
Yeah.
Like, what are you watching?
I agree with that statement.
It was like nonstop promos. Anyway, we finally get something with King, and we get highlights of a match with King versus Mike Miller.
Oh my God. Mike Miller.
Proud Gold's Gym shirt on.
Mike Miller looks like a fat Waylon Mercy. Like, literally, and with excessive band-aids on his face. Like,
yeah,
way
what is
too
that
many
about?
Band-aids.
See, Nelly. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Is he just keep continuously getting cut in the side of his forehead and in the side of his cheek at all times? And they're like falling off. Like,
yeah, it's bad.
Shitty.
So King's a big face here, of course, and he pulls his strap down, and then he hits referee Paul Neighbors. And
Paul Neighbors, first
his
of
name.
All.
Yeah. And anyone that interferes, including the Harris twins and some just like fat guy. I don't know who it was.
And then the ancient moon dog. Yeah. And it is spotty. By
it
the
is
way,
spotty.
We did confirm that.
You're right. Then we go to commercial again, because there have not been enough commercials in this show.
And finally, we get another national commercial.
Yes.
Wendy's old-fashioned hamburgers.
Dave Thomas with the old-fashioned combos.
Yeah.
I love Dave Thomas,
he's
for
great.
The record.
Yeah.
More of Dennis Hall's auto crap.
Basically. I mean, like...
And then we get a monster truck set. It's coming to the Mid-South Coliseum, but
no
Quinn...
No Gravedigger.
No Gravedigger.
What the fuck?
That's bullshit. I'm not going if there's no Gravedigger.
Gravedigger's like the main event of all monster trucks, right?
Yes.
Do they? You wonder if they have Gravedigger like lookalikes or clones? Like, and he
the
just
Undertaker had a monster truck.
Yeah, he did.
Did
and
they
he would,
fight?
Yeah, Gravedigger did fight the Undertaker. I know that. I
Wait,
think
really?
There was like a Sting one too, where it was just like
yeah, that was
Sting
some bullshit,
and Hulk
though.
Hogan.
Of course.
Do you remember the Giants Dungeon of Doom-ish one? That like remember that fucking pay per view where the like before the match Hulk Hogan
they had a monster truck match
fights the Giant, but in monster trucks.
It was like a sumo
yeah.
monster, and then he threw him off the roof.
Yeah. And then somehow they go to the ring after that.
Yeah,
to
what?
Fight. Yeah, it's really weird.
Men's Warehouse Quinn with Gary Zimmerman.
We were talking about this guy before. I possibly on this show. It might have been off air, but
it might have been on the live
the
stream.
Live feed. But it's weird because his voice is all high pitched. He hasn't liked it. You like the way you're
he's more like
you like the way you look. I guarantee it.
Puppies JR.
Puppies JR.
Puppies JR.
Last week on the news.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? What do they only get the news like once a week? What is it, like a fucking magazine?
They're literally like last week on the news.
Why do I need to recap?
We heard about food.
Yeah. Shouldn't it be like yesterday on the news? Not last week. What the hell? That's so weird.
It's fake news. King promo, and he has this big long sleeve, like pinkish
and
shirt.
And I hate to say this, but I swear I've seen
you
him
have.
Wear that pink,
he's,
like
he's worn it
pink sweatshirt before. Why do I know that?
I don't know. And sweatpants. And yeah. He's using his face voice.
Yeah, which
he's not
I
a
actually
heel.
Think King's a
he's
decent
awesome.
Face.
Yeah,
he's actually
good.
Like pretty good.
He's got the unified title, which
AKA the AWA
it's pretty much
belt.
The AWA belt,
that he,
yeah.
That he didn't really steal. They didn't pay him, so he was like, well, I'm taking this because you
yep.
didn't pay me any money.
Like, Quinn, you were asking, like, all right, so is he the main face or not? I was like, well, it's kind of like, you know, when John Cena kind of
yeah.
bows down and he's like not the main event.
Yeah, but what's weird about this is that when John Cena bows down, he's U.S. champion. In this case, King
he
is the like
world
champion, but he's not in the main event. He's
right.
fighting Mike Shitty Band-Aid Miller.
Yeah, exactly. And he calls Burt Prentice a big fat slob. I agree.
I wholeheartedly agree.
What's the big fat slob? Burt Prentice?
This is the best promo of the show.
Definitely. Yeah,
yeah,
it's fun. King's fun as a face.
Yeah.
So who does he bring out as a special ref?
Oh, this is weird.
Yeah, to counter Paul Neighbors.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers' friend.
Yeah.
He brings out Downtown Bruno, also known as who, Quinn?
Harvey Whippleman.
That's right. He brings out Harvey Whippleman, Downtown Bruno, which, by the way, Downtown Bruno as a face?
Very weird. Although, I'm going to say this, by the way, just as an aside, I love the name Downtown Bruno. That's a
awesome
cool
name.
Fucking name.
So much better than Harvey Whippleman.
Yeah. Well,
much
that
better
they
name.
Want him to look like a stupid geek or something.
Which he
they,
did, yeah.
With Harvey Whippleman.
But Downtown Bruno, cool name.
Yeah, very cool name.
So, of course, this show would not be complete without Laura or Lauren Davenport
yeah.
interrupting yet again another promo.
Why did you write, you think she's too old for him?
Yeah.
Oh! Oh, never
I
mind.
Even say I, anything. You can work that out yourself.
My brain just—I had a brain fart. Everyone, it's King, so of course she's too old for him.
Now, Quinn, you say to me, "Why is she dressed like that?" I wanted to explain
again. I won't keep rehashing, but it's very like weird. Like it just is.
It
I'm
is.
Sorry,
it is.
Like even you had to admit it's like distracting at this point.
This dress is hugely like distracting. Yes,
yeah.
It's huge. She tries to be King's valet, of course, and
like she's one. Being everyone's valet,
yeah.
apparently.
And it's very easy to see why King is so beloved, because his mic skills are great here.
Yeah.
He kind of plays into it a bit. And some guy, I love the Memphis audience.
Yeah,
I mean,
they are good.
A
they're
crowd.
Good. There's a good good fans, let's audience. Put it that way. Yeah.
Some guy yells out, "You don't need her! She's a mean cat!"
And there's tons of innuendo here. Like,
there is.
There's stuff about going to Lawler's house and all this. Like,
and in fact, he says, "If you came to my house, I'd have to hang a pork chop around you to get my dog to play with her."
Yeah.
Okay. So she
slaps
him over and over again, and he kind of like laughingly
He laughs as she's kind of beating him, but like she's not like hurting him. She's kind of like doing the like clawing at him kind of thing.
And then he just has enough.
He like kind of grabs her by like the chest. He doesn't grab her by the throat because I think that would be too much.
That'd be too much.
And he kind of tells her, it's like, "I'm not like such and such. I'm not going to let you just do this to me. I'll sock you in the face and
knock your
pearly whites out." Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Which was, I mean, they would never be able to do that now.
No.
Yeah.
But it was, all right, so Kane still has a mean streak in him,
It kind of established that King's not a pushover.
Right. So she kind of, gets scared there. But of course, people come beat him up. And it is the big fat trio.
Who do you think it is?
It's Mike Samples. It is Burt Prentice.
Burt
and of course, Waylon Mercy Miller.
Waylon Mercy Miller. And I actually like this. We'll go into it later, but I really kind of starting to like this Mike Miller character for some reason.
Yeah, he grew on me as the show went on. Yeah. Jarrett and company make the save. Now, the best thing, one of the announcers, I think it was Dave Brown, says, wants Samples and Prentice to get out of here because we've seen enough of them already.
The biggest, like, most truthful statement in this entire show.
And he's right.
Yeah.
He's totally right. Lauren Davenport is still out there. Now she stands next to Mike Miller as he cuts a pretty nondescript promo.
Yeah, but I kind of, this is where I start liking him.
Yeah.
Didn't I say to you, he's like, I kind of like this guy.
Yeah.
And then I had commented, like, he just seems like an angry dude that would, like
your weird neighbor,
like comically slam open his door, like and fucking be like, "Get the fuck off my lawn, I'm gonna fucking kill you." Like he seems like mean,
like your creepy neighbor,
basically.
So of course, big fat Burt Prentice and Samples come back in the screen here. Dave Brown tells Prentice, "Will you stop it?
I'm not." Yeah, that really happened.
It's
like
funny.
He has a gorilla-ism.
He's in bed with Miss Texas, probably at this very minute.
Stop that.
The camera guy cuts away.
This is fucking weird.
To an awkward scene of Miller and Davenport.
They're like making out or something, and like necking.
They're necking.
And all of a sudden, like, I'm like, what?
So then some chick dressed like Peggy Bundy named Leslie Ballinger, I guess her name was, runs out. She gets mad at Davenport. Because of the cuddling that was going on.
Cuddling and necking and...
So we have a cat fight, and Quinn, you said this show is going off the rails.
Yeah, it really gets fucking bizarre now.
Yeah.
It seems like very, like, white trashy, I guess you would call it. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
But, like, it almost like they're trying to do that.
Yeah.
Like it's almost intentional, right? Like...
So the big fat trio, Samples, Miller, and Prentice break up the cat fight. And then Eddie Marlin, I guess he's like the Jack Tunney.
Yeah, he basically looks like fake Tunney. Like,
yeah.
He just storms out and it starts breaking it up.
He gets on the mic and he's like, "All right, we'll have the match, but not now."
Between the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I swear if I see this Greg's Red Tag commercial again, I swear.
I feel like we memorized it. It's like, he's wearing a suit.
His suit's
really
Why are his suits in us? Greg's Ragtag sound.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Quinn, you said to me you feel like the show's been on for 4 hours.
I know. It feels so long. And I think
so...
it's because of the ads, really. The ads are what's now... This is the first time when we reviewed something where the ads were like a negative. Like,
yeah, it's true.
They really
they're
were getting
grating.
On my nerves. Yeah, they're really terrible.
We get a commercial with the mayor of Memphis, W.W. Harrington.
That's fake. There's no way that that's his name. Like, what is it? W.B. Mason? Like... That's a weird fucking name, no?
And he tells everyone to get a degree.
Yeah.
And then, this is the weirdest commercial. Leave It to Snowbird. It's a Beaver Cleaver parody. Like, a Leave It to Beaver
with
parody.
With puppets.
With puppets. About how, like, you need to watch the weather so you know that you don't have to go to school. And then it cuts to Dave Brown, the announcer, in a chair.
Like, in black and white. Like, the announcer on this show.
Yes,
but and in the commercial.
And he's like, you need to watch this
and it's
for
even,
your school
here's
closings.
The thing, it's even more apparent that it, like, I thought, at first I said, is that him? And then literally the next cuts out of commercial to Dave Brown and, like, the other guy.
And we're like, yep, that's him.
Holy shit.
So I looked it up, because I didn't know this. Maybe yeah. you folks did. He was actually a meteorologist yeah. for this channel.
And that gets highlighted a bit, like, in a minute.
We'll get to that in one sec. But he was a meteorologist for this channel, and he also happened to be a wrestling announcer, yeah. and he's a damn good announcer.
He's pretty fucking awesome, actually.
He's fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get a...
The tag champs.
Yeah, the Bruise Brothers versus... I don't even care. Yeah. They didn't say their names.
This match is like literally like a second.
Yeah.
Like,
they win with the powerbomb. Corey Macklin says, get out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, because they're like beating the shit out of these guys like all over the place, right?
Yeah, so it's just like enough already with yeah. this. Basically, enough with the heels.
Yeah.
Just get out
Memphis
of here.
Memphis heels.
Yeah, so they beat down these jobbers with the help from samples.
Again, with the samples.
Yes. And Dave Brown says, just get out of the studio. That's why this guy's awesome. He's seriously, Dave Brown
now,
is awesome,
now,
Quinn.
Now, here's the cool thing, and I don't think you put it in the notes.
What?
One of the jobbers that got, like, messed up by the Bruise Brothers, he's like, the table got turned over that they're on or whatever.
Right.
And, like, the guy's, like, laying in the upside yes. down table, and Dave Brown's, like, pointing at him, and you had noted at the time before you found out he was a meteorologist, he's like pointing at him like a meteorologist.
Yeah, like he's
and
doing the weather.
That's like why it was so awesome that after we watched and you found out he was a meteorologist, I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
It's true. He's like, you got this guy like laying there like half dead, yeah. and Dave Brown's like, this guy over here
yeah,
needs
exactly.
help. And he's like yeah. gesturing like a meteorologist would gesture to like, you know, Nashville,
right,
like,
right.
oh, you're gonna have a cold front here. He's like, oh, this guy's dead. So then basically we would just run down the cards again with the on-screen graphics.
Like endlessly. It's like, yeah. 5 minutes
we
of this
skipped
to
it
end
because
yeah.
we already knew it, and that's it. And the total wrestling time, I don't know, 37 seconds.
Yeah, basically.
It was a here's the thing, Quinn.
Yeah,
I said this to you after we watched it. I think you agreed with me.
I do agree with you.
The stories made sense.
They did.
They were all logical. They all made sense.
Nothing was silly. The writing was better than WWE's now.
It is, because it all makes sense.
But the problem is that it's low rent everything. Like,
yes.
everything. Like, everything is junk.
Exactly. And that's why it's hard to believe that they really thought they could be the number three.
It's like... It seems like they have the talent, even like
sure.
even though these guys are like kind of shitty, they're reusing a bunch of people and
yeah.
shit like that. But that's fine. I mean, it seems like everyone's multifaceted. They can
sure.
hang. It felt like everyone could talk except like Jeff Jarrett.
He was awful.
Yeah, it's Memphis.
Here's what I took away from it. On the wrestling end, it reminded me very much of like Worldwide or one of those Cindy's where it's not about the wrestling, it's about the storyline.
Yeah, because they're advancing the story to get you in the house show.
To get you in the house show, exactly. Because no pay per view in USWA.
I think, you know, overall okay.
It like, made sense. It's part of a larger storyline that we don't know the context of.
Right.
You know, it's in the midst of some stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
The wrestling, like I said, whatever. But,
I will say,
yeah,
another point I wanted to make, I will say the show seems to be ahead of its time as far as highlighting women. So, like, it's interesting. Like,
you know the thing that I like the most about all the promos, Quinn? And I really genuinely mean this. They weren't scripted.
Nothing was scripted.
And
this.
I liked that about it.
Yeah.
It was so much more real because of that. And folks, speaking of not scripted... Our show is not scripted.
Not
so
scripted at all.
We would love to hear ideas from you. Maybe you write the script for us. Maybe
yeah.
you let us know what you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
You want us to review something?
Yeah.
We'll review it.
You think we're terrible at Mount Rushmore? Let us know.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know what you think is better. We might have missed something.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for how we've made it to Season 3, Episode 21 with you guys.
Yeah, this is crazy.
I cannot believe we have made it, folks. Thank you for your continued support.
Yeah.
We love talking the retro wrestling for you guys. We'll continue to do it.
Yep.
In fact, we'll be back next week, Monday the 13th, for more retro wrestling goodness.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, folks, have a good rest of your day, rest of your week, whatever you might be doing. We will see you next week.
See ya.
Mr. Peterson, I think that Johnson is making a little too much money. He wears all these very expensive suits, and I can't imagine how he's doing it.
He's doing it at Greg's annual Red Tag Buy One, Get One Free Suit Sale, and you can too. Select one Red Tag suit from Greg's outstanding collection of designer double-breasted suits at regular prices, then select a second Red Tag suit absolutely free. You can be doing it now at Greg's annual Red Tag Buy One, Get One Free Suit Sale.
Will you stop?